Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Jags win it 51-16 over the Indianapolis Colts. Welcome into Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor will be along shortly. Two halves couldn't be any more. The first half of this game for the Jaguars was about as miserable as it could get until the Andre Branch fumble return for a touchdown really kind of saved the flow of the game. It could have been a 20-3 score.
You're right, JP.
If Indy goes down the field there, it's 20-3. The Boo Birds are out. It could be a real bad scene in there. That happens. All of a sudden, it's 13-9. The missed extra point happened. It's like, oh, my goodness. And then all of a sudden, the second half, the offense scored every time they touched
it. Well, I mean, look, even if they get a field goal at the end of the half, it's 16-3, and you feel like you've got nothing done. Not only that, the Jags come out in the second half to get a stop, and it's a one-play, 80-yard drive. You love those one-play, 80-yard drives. Hit Allen Hurns, Blake Bortles hit Allen Hurns, and two defenders both tried to make a play. Neither one came up with it, and then it was a foot race to the end zone, and it really just flipped from that point forward. I mean, Andre Branch, seriously, the biggest play, maybe one of the biggest plays of the season for this team for a single moment when things were going completely against the Jaguars to turn it around like that, get the touchdown, and then the floodgates just opened up. And what a feeling it is to win a game that doesn't come down to the final few seconds.
We're awaiting the first word with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff Logman standing by outside of the Jags locker room. Fred Taylor is with us now, and it doesn't get any better than that against a division rival, Fred.
50 puntas. I'm trying to speak. That's the best I can do in Spanish. Hey, that was amazing. That was absolutely amazing. In every phase of the game, they responded. And that's what you wait on, man. Those are the trials you go through as a fan to wait to witness performances like this. So tip your hat off to the team.
What a job by Denard Robinson off the bench, Fred. T.J. Yeldon was playing pretty well. Went out and came back, and then finally went out again with an injury. And Denard played maybe his best game, honestly, as a Jag. I don't know if I remember him running, breaking so many big plays, and what a great run down at the goal line as well to get that in the end zone.
Right. You know, you saw glimpses of it a year ago.
Sure.
You know, and that transition isn't easy at all. So I always tip my hat off to Denard there, going from quarterback to NFL running back. But he's always a slasher. You know, that's the way he generates his power. He makes guys miss. The vision is always good. And I like his juice. I was telling Christian upstairs on the set there, the game day set, that he came in with a lot of juice. And to do what he did, you know, and with those carries in the second half, man, it shows how well the line started the game blocking in the run game for the first time. I've seen gashes throughout the entire day. But Denard ran with authority, and he ran really well today.
Blake Bortles, three touchdowns today, really turned things. Boy, the first half of this game, Fred, you have five straight punts after the opening field goal. The Jags offense just dead in the water, couldn't get anything done at all. And then Bortles comes out with that 80-yard touchdown to open the second half. And then a couple of red zone scores after that, and things start rolling offensively. Blake Bortles, a solid day, at least in the second half of this game.
Right, he could have easily put his head down. Three fumbles, the one for the touchdown right there. But he's always shown that he's a fighter, scrappy, you know, he sticks in there, and that's what you want out of your quarterback, somebody who's going to, you know, fight to the very end. He was able to persevere through those turnovers early and fight back. The big play to Hurns, just doing a lot to help the offense. So, Blake, man, I wish I'd had an opportunity to play ball with him. Really do.
I bet, man. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's fun.
He brings a lot of element, a lot of dimensions to the game. I mean, he has the ability to throw it short, deep. The accuracy is there. His mobility opens up the run game, which I would have been back there, big Cheshire Cat smile on my face every time. So, yeah, I truly say that, the utmost sincerity that I would have enjoyed being his teammate.
And you make the mention of the mobility. It extends plays, but also right. You had the one play where it looked like yelled and kind of slipped, and they missed the handoff. It was going to the left. He just turned the other way and took off for a first down.
No hesitation.
He can do right. No hesitation. He knew it was a run play. You're going to get guys downfield. I can't throw it away. And like you said, immediately just took off, and he's got the wheels to pick up that first down.
Right. And I don't – you know, it wasn't any hesitation on his part, but he was smart enough and aware enough to know that the flow was going left. And he was able to boot the opposite direction and make a 15-yard gain. That just says a lot about his awareness. So, you know, you take away the small, you know, mistake here and there. I mean, I think he's a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback.
30
he's
touchdowns, been Fred.
Way, right.
30. I mean, he's blown the record, the team record, out of the water. We were just talking about it a moment ago. Tom Brady and Carson Palmer lead the league. They're tied with 31. Now, right. Brady has a chance to add to that tonight, but Blake Bortles right there among the best in the league at getting the ball in the end zone through the air. And no, let's not forget he ran for 1-2.
Let's go to the Jaguars locker room. Jeff Loggeman has head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff.
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, congratulations. The Colts had reeled off 16 consecutive division wins, and you guys finally snapped that streak.
Yeah, you know, it was a great team effort. Offense, defense, special teams all had a hand in it. Very appreciative of the defense coming back like they did from last week. Offense hanging in there, tough in the first half, and then special teams with the punt return.
Boy, a crazy chain of events there to end the first half. You have the high snap that allows the Colts to go up 13-3. You turn around, you answer that play with a big play of your own. Andre Branch makes a huge play. You miss the extra point. Kind of the energy is sucked out, but in the second half, you guys came out with a lot of energy.
Well, we talk about these games that we play, all the lessons to be learned. You know what? And the one thing that hasn't affected it is our will, and we needed that today, and it was there. And the guys came out in the second half and did some good things.
Blake Bortles reaches 30 touchdown passes in a season in his second year. Impressive.
Yeah, you know, it's really a credit to the offensive line first. You know, we're doing a better job protecting. Receivers are doing a good job, and Blake, just his poise and his demeanor. I think he's starting to understand his strengths. He knows who he is. You know, now we just keep building on that.
You talked a lot about the defense a minute ago, but the defensive effort last week, the red zone not very good, but the red zone effort today, the third down rate was good. Took one quarterback out of the game and continued to roll when Charlie Whitehurst came in.
You know what? I look back at it. We had a really good week of practice, really good week, and I think that's where it starts. But I give credit now. We put Nick Marshall in there, did a nice job. Got beat right away, but stayed back or continued the rest of the game and did a nice job. Andre Branch really was challenged this week, and it was good to see that he stepped up. But total team effort by the defense. Jonathan Cyprian's interception, you know, good to see him getting involved too. So really pleased with how they came back.
Speaking of challenges, nice challenge on the Allen Hurns reception, using the challenge flag instead of just calling timeout.
Yeah, you know what? It's credit to up top. You know, they saw it. They felt like we had it. We were going to try to make sure. Didn't know for sure. Try to draw them offside, then use the challenge flag. We felt like we were going to get it, but thought we'd use both.
All right, last question. T.J. Yeldon, how's he doing?
Well, it sounds like he's got a sprained knee. So we'll just take a look at it. You know, not as bad as we thought, but we'll see, you know, how he comes back from it. So, you know, until we get further news from our training staff, then I'll let you know.
All right. Thank you, Gus. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you.
There's Gus Bradley with Jeff Loggeman outside of the Jaguars locker room. 51-16, the final. We're back. Jeff Loggeman will go inside that happy locker room. This will be a rowdy place today after the Jags improve to 5-8. A 51-16 win. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Final score in week 14, Jags 51, Colts 16. Allen Hurns was back on the field today. He's with Jeff Loggeman right now. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Allen, tremendous win for you guys. 51 points scored, which is a regular season franchise record. It has to feel good, particularly the way you started in the first half.
Most definitely. You know, it feels really good just to see our offense continue to play week in, week out, just put up the points and, you know, just continue to improve. You know, the first half wasn't so good for us, but, you know, we came in at halftime with saying it's just going to take one play to get us rolling. And as you see that one play, it got us rolling and we continue to improve.
The one play was the 80-yard catch by you. Were just telling me, describe that play to everybody and what you were thinking in your mind.
You know, I had a corner route. You know, I felt the safety coming. You know, I thought I was going to get blown up, but once I see he went for the ball, I was able to turn up.
And see, in my mind, you know, one game removed, okay, or a couple games removed from suffering a pretty serious concussion, the concentration on that play, that's big time.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, as far as the concussion, you know, anytime I step out on the field, I'm going to continue to play with no fear. So I wasn't thinking about that at all. You know, I was going to get hit, but my main thing was made the catch.
what was said at halftime in the locker room? I mean, because a weird chain of events to where you guys are down 13-9 at the half, and it wasn't your best performance. What was said?
They was just saying, like, stick together, you know. It's going to take all 11 guys to execute, and it's just going to take one play to get us rolling. As you can see, that one play got us rolling. But, you know, that's what I love about this offense. You know, no matter what we go through, we always stick together and continue to go out there and improve.
Congratulations and enjoy it.
Thank you.
Alan Hearns back on the field today. What, three catches, 105 yards, including the 80-yard touchdown. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Unbelievable turn of events in this game, starting with that fumble return. But the offense, for a second straight week, the offense comes through with a big day overall.
Yeah, you know, for me, just going back, recapping, the offensive line, you know, I thought those lanes were much bigger or the biggest they've been all year. You know, TJ started out, you know, with a pretty good yards per carry average at over 5 points, 5.2, I think, in the half. So the fact that they had established a run, that, or at least that mindset, knowing that it was going to be there, and then for them to finish the way they did in the second half. You know, it's a team who's shown a lot of improvement. And they've put up, you know, 39-plus in consecutive weeks for the first time since 2000, which is also, you know, something big for them.
Let's go to the locker room. Andre Branch had a big game today. He's with Jeff Lagerman. Jeff?
Thank you, JP. Andre, big-time play there at the end of the first half. Offense was struggling. Needed to make a play because you had the errant snap, and you were able to come up with the quadfecta. Sack, cause, fumble, recovered, fumble, touchdown.
Definitely, it felt good. You know, we help each other out when we're struggling. We were struggling last week. The offense stepped up. And in the first half, the offense was struggling. So we stepped up, and I'm just happy I could be able to make that play.
How good does it feel to snap what the Colts had reeled off 16 consecutive division wins?
Man, it felt good. I've been here for 4 years now, and then I think this is my first win against the Colts. And in this way, it felt really good.
You got three games remaining, mathematically still alive. Any thoughts to that, or just worrying about the next one?
Just keep working, man. That's all we do, keep working and keep going week by week and day by day and keep getting better.
Congratulations, big win.
Appreciate it.
Andre Branch, he takes a lot of heat from fans, from commentators, from a lot of folks, but today stepped up. I mean, Andre Branch today finished with four tackles, two sacks, the fumble return for the touchdown.
Yeah, the first one, Freddie, came in there unblocked, and right. He kind of cleaned up some pressure that Colvin had created, but okay, he made the play that was there. Second one was him. He beat his man one-on-one. He came around the corner. He got that left hand out. We see that drill run a billion times all throughout the summer and all throughout the season, I would imagine, with those guys. And stripped it, picked it up. I mean, real. I said it to JP, and I don't think it's hyperbole. He may have saved the season for the Jaguars with that play. I said that at halftime. So certainly saved the game.
Let's go back to the locker room. Defensive side again, Josh Evans with Jeff Lagerman. Jeff?
Thank you, JP. Josh, certainly the first half kind of a crazy first half. Going at halftime, not exactly with the expectation of what you wanted to have in the first half. And you guys come out defensively. In the first three drives, you were able to hold the Colts to three and outs. And the offense and special teams just took advantage of it.
I mean, it was just a great opportunity to go out there and give it our best. We knew what we can do, and we knew how much this game meant. You know, it's been over 2 years, this is the third year, you know, playing against them and not being able to get the victory. And today it showed, man, we played our hearts out.
Big focus on this game, stopping Frank Gore. And you guys held him. You guys held him to really not much of an impact in the ball game.
Definitely. I mean, we pride ourselves in, you know, trying to stop the run. And I think we've been doing that consistently, you know, except for last week. But like I said, going into each week, man, that's our big goal, to go out there and stop the run against a running back like him that's been playing for years now and well-respected in his league.
You go back a week ago at Tennessee, and as disappointed as you were in that performance against Tennessee, to turn around and have a performance like this, what does that mean?
It means a lot. It means, you know, we came in with a chip on our shoulder, knowing that we're better than last week. And just to continue to get better, that's been our thing, man. To go back out there and not let last week affect how we go out there and play against the Colts is a rival week, and it's a big time game.
Little change in the nickel package. Nick Marshall gets the start for Grazi. And early in that ball game, T.Y. Hilton had a 57-yard catch on Nick. What was the thoughts running through your mind there?
Man, you know, he got his feet wet today, and you know, I had to tell him, man, stick in the game. Don't let that play affect you. It happened to us at, you know, at times or whatever. But after that one play, he played pretty well after that, and had his head on straight. So I was glad for him to finally get in there and see what it's like, you know, playing against the big guys, and proud of him, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There's Josh Evans with Jeff Flagerman in the Jaguars locker room. We'll come back with the lightning fast questions for Fred Taylor. Jags win it today, 51-16 over the Indianapolis Colts. Jaguars postgame continues after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores right on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Speaking of awesome, the Jags' second half was pretty darn awesome today, too. 51-16, the final score. Jaguars improved to 5-8. The Colts snapped their long national nightmare is over. The long national nightmare is over. The division streak is done for the Colts. 16 games. It's the most in NFL history, and the Jags snapped it today with a win over the Indianapolis Colts. It is time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor. We're brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Number one, defense bounce back. What was the big reason today? Why, Fred?
You know, maybe they looked in the mirror after last week's game. They played great today, only allowing three field goals. Definitely a bounce back.
Fred, question number two, terrible first half for Blake Bortles. What does it tell you about him that he was able to lead that offensive resurgence in half number two?
He never quit. Never quit mentality. He is the leader. When you need a play, when you need something to happen, you go to number five.
Finally, number three, CBS postgame had an in-the-hunt Jaguars graphic at 5-8. Are the Jaguars in the hunt still?
They are in the hunt. They have a three-game season. They can't worry about anything else. Just got to go out there and understand what's in front of them, handle what they can handle, and let the numbers sort itself out.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions and Answers of the Game for Fred Taylor. Of course, everybody tonight rooting for the New England Patriots in Houston in primetime.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think the Patriots are going to go in there and against one of their old coaches and Billy O'Brien, and they're not going to lose three in a row.
You hope not.
They are not going to lose. The Jags need that game tonight.
Yeah. Houston cannot win that game tonight.
Right, but I really believe that the Patriots, they're going to, you know, I understand that whether Gronkowski is available or not or however long he's going to be, and the word is he's going to play, but I think it's a little bit more dog and pony. But their offense this week, they can't say it's going to go through the tight end position. The receivers are going to have to catch those balls that they've been dropping the past 2 weeks. And hopefully the special teams will play better. They'll get a chance to walk away out of Houston.
And if that happens, then the Jags are really in the hunt.
Yes,
only a game back if the Patriots get it done tonight. The Jags got it done today. 51-16 the final. We're back with the highlights, the Bud Light play of the game. Plenty to choose from today, but one big one turned the tide today. Also, the Safe Touch Security player of the game coming up, and Everbank Stats Check. Plenty left with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. This is JP Shadrick, and it's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. The Jags exceptional today. 51-16 the final. A win over the Indianapolis Colts. Snaps a six-game skid against the Colts for the Jags. And it ends the Colts' 16-game division-winning streak. It's the longest in NFL history. The Colts are now 6-7. The Jags improved to 5-8 and are trying to creep back in the hunt in the AFC South. Let's get to the highlights from today's game, and we'll pick a Bud Light play of the game as well. This was a flat-out, boring, bad football game in the first quarter. Myers hit a 46-yard field goal on the opening drive, 3-0 Jags. Vinatieri, 25-yard field goal, tied at 3-3. Vinatieri hits a 21-yard field goal later, 6-3 Indianapolis. Jags offense goes stagnant, 5 straight punts after the Myers field goal. It was not a good situation, a bad snap. Again, last week was a big issue. Gave up a touchdown to the Titans on a play similar. This week, Mathis recovers in the end zone for a touchdown.
But it's a bad snap. It goes through his hands. That ball is going to be recovered by the Colts for a touchdown. Robert Mathis, the veteran, fell on the fumbled snap that went through the hands of Blake Bortles, and it's a touchdown for Indianapolis.
That was with a couple minutes to go in the first half. 13-3 Indy. Next drive, the Jags hit a couple of plays. Lee and Thomas with receptions. But this time, a sack fumble of Bortles.
Great drop. It's a blitz by the Colts. Blake pump fake, and he is going to get. Now the ball is out. He's sacked, and the ball comes out again, and the Colts have it, and they're running it back. They get knocked out of bounds at the 35-yard line.
Not a good scene inside Everbank Field at that point, but the Jags defense, the very next snap, Andre Branch with a huge play to change the momentum.
And Hasselbeck drops the throw. That ball's knocked out of his hands. It is picked up by the Jaguars. That is picked up by Andre Branch. Andre Branch is going to score a touchdown. That's going to be a strip sack, and Andre Branch scores for the Jaguars.
Now dance. Dance all you want.
Dance he did. A touchdown, the extra point, no good, 13-9. But if that touchdown doesn't happen, the Colts score could be 16-3 or 20-3 going into the halftime locker room. Instead, it's 13-9. That is the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. Now to the second half. Strap in and hang on. The Jags defense forces a three and out. First play for the Jags offense in the second half. Bortles to Allen Hurns.
Backs up the Jaguars. So they start rolling right as Bortles fires that ball. It's caught by Allen Hurns. Allen stays in bounds. Oh, on the right sideline. Inside the 30. Inside the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to Hurns for the score. And Jacksonville has taken the lead.
80 yards, 16-13 Jags. The defense forces another three and out. The ensuing punt returned by Rashad Green.
Gets it away again. Green fields at the 28-yard line. Tries to run to his right, to the 35, to the 40. Rashad Green in the open field, in the Colts territory. Rashad Green up the right sideline, inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville! Rashad Green has extended the lead for the Jaguars.
Extra point good, 23-13 Jaguars. Vinatieri hit a 32-yard field goal for the Colts, 23-16 score. Next drive for the Jags, 8 plays, 80 yards in the red zone again. Bortles to A-Rob from 4 yards.
Dropping, looking, fires into the end zone. That's going to be caught for the touchdown, Allen Robinson. There's the first catch for A-Rob. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
The touchdown opened a 30-16 lead. Jags defense, another 3 and out. A 10-play, 69-yard drive for the Jags. Bortles to Thomas, a 3-yard score, 37-16. The Jags force a turnover on downs. Denard Robinson from a yard away, 44-16.
Shotgun for Bortles. Inside handoff to Denard Robinson. Denard Robinson, touchdown Jaguars. He dove into the end zone.
44-16 at that point. Charlie Whitehurst in the game after Hasselbeck was knocked out on the drive prior. And an interception. Jonathan Cyprian didn't have a great first half. Certainly rebounded with a pick late.
Fires it down the middle of the field. That ball's going to be intercepted. Jonathan Cyprian intercepted. He's got a little bit of room to run. He goes up the left sideline. He's got some blockers inside the 15, inside the 10, inside the 5, where he is trying to pull people into the end zone. They are going to mark it at the 1 yard line. They are going to mark him down at the 1 yard line.
And from the 1 yard line, it goes down to fourth down. Jags go for it. Blake Bortles with the keeper.
It is a quarterback dive. He's into the end zone. Touchdown. Blake took it. Dove over the top for the score.
51-16. It was 13-9 at halftime. The Colts led. The Jags rally for a huge second half. A perfect second half, in fact, for the Jaguars offense today. Scored every time they touched the ball and had a punt return as well. So the Jags get it done. They improved to a record of 5-8. 6-7, the new record for the Indianapolis Colts. Back in a moment, we'll take a look at the Everbank final stats check a little later. The Safe Touch Security player of the game. Everybody's celebrating today. 51-16, the final. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. It's time now for the Everbank final stats check. Well, first half, second half is really how you kind of look at this game, of course. The Jags offense didn't get much of anything done in the first half offensively. In the third quarter alone, they had 173 yards and 9 first downs. That's only in the third quarter. But the totals for the game today, for the team numbers today for the Jaguars, 24 first downs to 17 over the Colts. Yardage, 380 to 322. The Jags led the way there at the end of the day. 154 to 95 in rush yards. A lot of those in the second half when the Jags started rolling again. A little bit of running room early in the game, the first drive or so. That was about it. And then things opened up later. Passing yardage, 226 for the Jags, 227 for the Colts in this game. Third down numbers today. The Jags, 2 of 9 on third downs. The Colts held a 4 of 16 on third downs today. Jags defense comes out to play and gets it done today.
They did not mind sending the pressure. We saw 8 men coming on one play late in that football game. Blake Bortles today. If this is Blake's average or bad game, we'll take this every time, right? 250 with 3 touchdowns through the air. He ran for another score, as well as Blake ran 4 times for 17 yards with that touchdown. Matt Hasselbeck on the other side threw for 252 on 18 of 35 passing, did not throw a touchdown. Charlie Whitehurst came in 2 out of 8 and was picked by Jonathan Cyprian late. Early on, it was T.J. Yeldon running well for the Jags, 11 carries, 62 yards. But Denard Robinson, equally impressive, 14 carries, 75 yards, and a touchdown off the bench. Frank Gore led the way for Indianapolis, 16 carries for 60 yards, 3.8-yard average on that. Alan Hearns had the big 80-yard touchdown grab to get the Jags going in the third quarter. He had 3 catches in all for 105 with that score. Julius Thomas, 5 for 54 with a touchdown. And then really it was spread out the rest of the way. Alan Robinson only caught one ball today, but he did catch it in the end zone for his league-leading now 12th touchdown of the year. Ties Tyler Eifert for the most touchdown receptions by a player at any position. T.Y. Hilton with 4 grabs for 132 yards today for the Indianapolis Colts. On defense, it was certainly Andre Branch with the 2 sacks, including the sack forced fumble that he recovered and ran back for a touchdown there. 4 tackles in total for him. Telvin Smith led the way in that department with 9, including 1 for loss. And let's give the Jags defense credit for rallying around the absence of Paul Posluszny today and doing a good job slowing that run game for the Colts. DeQuell Jackson led the way on the other side with 7 tackles, including a sack of Blake Bortles.
One other notable team stat today, red zone. Colts 0 for 3, Jags 4 for 4 inside the 20, and that's 10 straight, if my math is right. 6 for 6 last week, 4 for 4 this week. They fixed the red zone. How about that?
Yeah, we were saying, Fred, throughout the whole pregame, well, they don't have to be perfect in the red zone again. You know, we take something like 50% touchdowns, 50% field goals. We'll take 100% touchdowns for the second week in a row. It's just, man, what a great game for the Jag fans, Fred, to get paid off this way, right? That have hung in there all this time, and with all the things, with the long winning streak by the Colts against the Jags, long winning streak in the division, to have it go as bad as it did in the first half and then to play almost a perfect game in the second half of this game.
I'm pretty sure that the fans that didn't watch it in person today, you know, they're kind of like, oh, man, we missed a great game.
Record setter.
A record setter, because the other fans were in there chanting, we want 50.
And they got
I've never, as a player, been a part of that.
They were chanting, we want 60 for you.
Right, we never did it. Well, that was only in the playoffs. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that was in the playoffs, man. But it was a great performance by the guys today.
51-16, the final score.
You know, we've come as far. Gus Bradley mentioned, I don't know if we've even talked about Rashad Green's punt return for the touchdown, longest for the Jags since 2010 when Mike Thomas had a 78-yarder for a score. And, you know, once again, boy, he looks so much faster than I remember. I mean, he's a great receiver at Florida State. He looks even faster now to me, Fred, when he gets in the open field. That was so well blocked, by the way.
It was great blocking by the guys up front. You know, he's a kid who he's shifty. You know, he knows all the right cuts. He has the good vision. And usually at punt return, that's what you need. Another Florida State returner in Peter Ward. He wasn't fast, but he had that vision. He's very dynamic, able to get it done. And Rashard is the same way. So, you know, a good thing that he's back. He's healthy now, and he's making his presence felt.
How about at least 5 different defensive backs that I counted? Nick Marshall, Colvin House, Cyprian, and Sergio all got their hands on balls today, breaking up passes as well.
I got to go talk to 37, man. I mean, the run back skill, I thought that was a touchdown. You know, but I'm going to shake his hand, too, because Blake was able to get the QB sneak for my fantasy, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I like that.
Yeah, so I was just going to say Blake is the 4th quarterback in QB in NFL history with 30 touchdowns at 23 years old.
Wow.
Marino, Stafford, and Culpepper.
Not a bad group there.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a bad group. Dante turned in a pretty nice career when it was all said and done.
Yeah. Not bad.
Hopefully Blake can be the first one of that group to win a Super Bowl. But pretty nice.
Well, yeah, that makes the most sense, right? Yeah. I'm going to put an asterisk by this.
Yeah, you know what?
To be continued.
30's fine. We want 40. Do I hear 40?
He's got three games.
Yeah, three games.
Why not?
He continues to go at this rate, yeah.
And I think, Fred, that record he's going to set this year as he's setting it every time he throws one. It may last for a while because, again, next year if they can figure out the run game earlier in the season and they can play from ahead a little bit more, they're going to be running the ball hopefully a lot more in the fourth quarter of games. And, you know, that would be good if let's say Blake throws 38 this year, if he throws 33, 35 next year, but it means – instead of having three rushing touchdowns at this point, the Jags maybe have 10 rushing touchdowns.
Right, and he's shown that improvement. You know, and the things that, you know, Brunell and Garrard and those guys did, we thought those could stick for a little bit. But Blake is, you know, he's coming in here. He's going to completely demolish those marks, which is great.
We'll come back and vote for the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game. This could go a number of different ways today. Also, a Baptist Health injury report ahead. Jags win it 51-16 over the Indianapolis Colts. Jags are now 5-8. The Colts fall to 6-7. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along after a 51-16 Jaguars win over the Indianapolis Colts. The first win for the Jags since week 3 of the 2012 season. Blaine Gabbert to Cecil Shorts III for an 80-yard touchdown won that game in the last minute. It's the last Jags win over the Colts. You believe that?
Yeah, I can believe it. I don't have many in my resume.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they've dominated the division
for a
since
while.
It started.
For a long time.
You do got that mark with, 335 you guys ran for? Against it, was it 335?
That was in December. Maybe we should, you know,
get them schedule here maker in December, needs to help you out a little bit,
December
right?
time for the Colts.
I like it. So the Jags win it today. They improved to 5-8. It's time now to vote for the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game. Here's how it works. I get a vote. JP Shadrick. Mike Dempsey gets a vote.
Yes.
Fred Taylor gets a vote and a half.
My half is up for charity because I think this is unanimous. Okay. But
maybe a sweep?
Okay. I'll start off then.
All right.
And maybe we'll see. It's a lot of pressure if it's not unanimous.
Do the Xfinity thing and just zip them all up.
Here we go. Blake Bortles.
Your player of the game.
Yep. Because he rebounded from a couple of fumbles in the first half, rallied his team in the offense in the second half. So Blake Bortles.
Hard to argue a guy who produces four touchdowns for you and has the second half that he had. But I will argue that Andre Branch is the player of the game because if he doesn't make that play – I don't know if the Jags win this football game. As you pointed out several times, JP, if they go down 16-3, 20-3 with absolutely nothing happening, and yeah, it was a little deflating when Myers missed the extra point, but boy, you turn that from the other team's having the biggest play of the first half to your biggest play of the first half. Fred, I said it at halftime, he saved the game, may have saved the season. The fact that the Jags are relevant only because they won today, and he had another sack along the way, four tackles in total. But Andre Branch, to me, is the player of the game and with a bullet.
I agree in the sense that Branch, you know, that was a game changer. He turned the game around. The guys were able to go in the locker room, come back out with some momentum. But without the leader in Blake Bortles, right there, the snap fumble for a touchdown for the Colts, you know, he could have easily just tanked it, you know, dropped his head and said, you know what, this is a bad day. But he continued to fight, came in, led his team. So my vote goes to Blake.
It's funny. We're all sitting here thinking it may be a clean sweep, but we're not necessarily
the
same guy.
A sweep. Right. But, no, you have to recognize Branch. I mean, he showed up in a very important game, and he made the play that the team needed.
Isn't it nice when there's multiple good quality guys that we can consider for player of the game instead of saying, wow, which kind of – shaky performance might lead the way.
It's even better in a win, too.
Absolutely, right. We had plenty of guys that you could nominate last week, but to get the W is the most important thing.
So, Fred, we did it. We outvoted Mike.
We got it, Mike. We got you.
Got you today. Blake Bortles got it today, too. 16 of 30 passing, 250 yards, 3 passing touchdowns, including an 80-yarder, rating of just under 115. And a rushing touchdown as well. He is the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game in the Jags' 51-16 win over the Indianapolis Colts. When we return, the Baptist Health Injury Report.
Jags win it. They're now 5-8. They're pulling hard for the New England Patriots tonight. The Patriots beat the Texans. The Jags will be a game out of first with 3 to play. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Jags win it over the Indianapolis Colts 51-16. We haven't said that. The Jags beat the Indianapolis Colts
51-16.
Haven't said the beat the Colts since 2012.
So I didn't catch a score.
It was 51-16.
Sounds good.
Fred, what was the score?
5-1. 51-16.
That's yes. It feels good, doesn't it?
It feels great.
You can't help but smile when you say 51-16.
Yes.
Over the Indianapolis Colts. The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good, most notably today. TJ Yeldon with a knee injury. Gus Bradley said in his postgame interview with Jeff Lagerman, in the first word with the head coach, that it was a knee sprain. Not as bad as they first thought, but they'll get more, and of course we'll have more on that tomorrow from the Jaguars head coach and the team, most likely, when Gus talks to the media around 1 o'clock, as he always does. So that's the latest on TJ Yeldon. Certainly don't want to see that happening, but, you know, when Denard came in the game in his place, really ran the ball well. I mean, the run game today got going again. That was nice to see.
It was awesome to see. And I spoke with Denard 2 weeks ago, and you know, he's just been patient, man. He's been patient, and it shows that he's waiting on his opportunity to get out there and go. So we hope TJ is healthy, so he can finish the season on a good note. But if not, Denard is ready.
Did he reach out to you? Did you reach out to him?
You know, we were actually enjoying the playoff game, Bowles versus Reigns. He was there on the sideline, and we just started, you know, conversation. I told him I like the way he's running, keep it up, stay patient. He said he was patient and ready, and it showed today.
He seems like a running back now, you know?
Oh, he is.
Takes a little
back.
Time, you know?
Yeah, QBs are out. I like to see him sneak, you know, the running back toss pass into the offensive repertoire here or something. Throwback pass.
Yeah.
I mean, they can, you know, draw up a lot of stuff, man, because he's a dual threat. Triple threat.
How about throw him and Nick Marshall and all those guys on offense at the same time? Now you're going to, like, triple pass.
Right.
I mean, get creative, man.
Let's put, like, a windmill on, like, the five-yard line.
The only guy they've let do that has been Brian Walters this year. We're all like, are you kidding me? This is the guy you go with when you have all these options. And, you know, Fred, too, I thought, and maybe it would have been seen as kind of rubbing it in or showboating or whatever, but if ever there was a time for Tyson Alualu to get a carry – when they were trying to punch it in from the 1 yard line, right. You know, and you had the luxury of the big lead right there to kind of pay him off for playing a little double duty. That would have been nice to see.
I love Tyson, but I did not want him to carry the ball. I wanted Blake Bortles to either QB sneak it or Alan Hearns back shoulder fade. I mean, we're talking fantasy.
I understand.
The blowout was complete.
You know what?
The blowout was done.
The sneak was good. I didn't like the hit he took on that naked bootleg, man. He got jacked up in his right shoulder, but he's a tough guy. He kept on going. And Marquise Lee had the quad strain, right? And as soon as you hear Marquise Lee in an injury, you're thinking, oh, boy. But he got right back in the game and didn't seem to really be anything.
One other note on Marquise Lee, the double penalty where he kept pushing and shoving with the guys
with
there.
The quote,
you got to get out of there, right? What happened?
You got to get out of there. You're on the 3-yard line, but I saw it, you know, before it almost even happened. And the kid can't be no more than 180 pounds, less
Marquise
than that, right?
Marquise is a skinny guy. Yeah,
170.
Yeah, little guy.
And to face the big Jackson that way, I mean, he jacked him up. I was like, Marquise, get out of here before he retaliate. Then it would have been another story. But he got into him pretty good.
He's got to be careful swinging those arms around the
world. I don't endorse violence. I'm just repeating what
saying,
I saw.
Real violence and real world violence are two different things we think we understand. But, you know, he got that hat knocked. The ref got his hat knocked off by Denard. You just got to be careful. You don't want to pop him in the in the jaw when you're swinging those arms around.
Fred's not saying. He's just saying.
Yeah, I mean, plus we don't need to see him on the injury list for – you know, a Ronda Rousey type thing. No, we don't need to see that.
No, we do not want to see that at all. There's your injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. We'll come back and preview next week's matchup. The Atlanta Falcons come to Everbank Field for the final home game of the 2015 season. Final moments with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey coming up. It's Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Final moments of Jaguars postgame. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. Jags win it 51-16, the most points scored in a game in the regular season history of the Jaguars today. The previous high was 49 points back in 07 against Oakland. The Jags scored 51 today. Of course, they had the, 63 in the playoffs with your 90-yard run and all that?
62.
That's certainly the record, but in the record books, it's regular season only. No offense, Fred, but there you go. Jags get it done today.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm trying to find a way to get that 90-yard run.
Added they talk to your totals,
about
right,
right, like
we play that
the most in playoff history,
show, exactly.
But nobody ever say, "Well, that's the most ever in playoff history, the longest run." I mean, add that thing to regular season.
I think you just said it.
Well, yeah, but you know,
it's on the record now. Good for you. You got it out there.
We want those Hall of Fame committees to start thinking about that 90-yard run.
Yeah,
we need to talk to around this.
We got this. We're working on Priscelli. We'll get to you, Freddie. Yeah. He's coming.
We'll work on that.
Oh man,
one at a time. Jaguars win it today. They're pulling for the New England Patriots tonight against the Houston Texans primetime game down in Houston. It was a flexed game, by the way, so that game was moved into primetime for tonight. So the Patriots have lost a couple in a row. Gronkowski could be back. Houston's offense has the deep weapon. That's about it, really, on their offensive side. You got Hoyer at the quarterback spot. A lot of question marks on that offense, but defensively they're playing good football right now.
Right. You know, the good thing, I think, is these coaches, they know each other really well, having Bill O'Brien being on that staff in New England. And the same, the defense for the Patriots, they're going to know exactly what the offense of the Texans want to do. And plus the Patriots have some of their guys back there healthy. So, I said it earlier, I think the Patriots have a shot to win this one.
Hey, J.J. Watt, broken hand this week. Right. So, Fred, he's going to play with that cast, and that's got to impact him. Obviously, he's going to give it a go, but it's going to be tougher to grab Brady's jersey if you're trying to sack him. And I think if I'm New England, I might run the ball right at him, you know, try to slow him down a little, see if he can handle tackling LeGarrette Blount and company.
Yeah, Blount, 240, 250. You know, you're barely going to get him down with arm tackles when your hand isn't broken. So I agree with you, Mike, on that. I would definitely try and attack him, send a few double teams that way, try to wear him down a little bit, and come away with the win.
The Atlanta Falcons come in here next Sunday, and the Falcons have now dropped six consecutive games after starting the season 6-1. They started 5-0, by the way.
Yeah.
They lost today 38-0 to the Carolina Panthers. This is a reeling Falcons team. They're wounded coming in here, and the Jags, if they carry this momentum, hey, you never know against this Falcons team. But they do have weapons on the offensive side.
They have a lot of weapons on the offensive side, you know, but with the Jags defense, it's going to start with the run defense first. If they can contain Freeman, you know, they're going to give themselves a shot because of late. Matt Ryan is vintage Matty Ice. He's a turnover machine in that six-game skid that they face. So, as long as stop the run, apply the pressure that you did today because the potential is there. You know, we always say throughout the season that we get pass rush up front, they're going to be fine. They've mixed up the coverages. They've been able to rush four, blitz eight, you know, find ways to get these guys off the mark. So that's what they're going to need to do next week against the Falcons.
Four of the losses in this skid are by less than a touchdown, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're right there. They're close to getting these wins, too.
Falcons. You can say that about the Jags, obviously, all
that's
season
right.
long, right? And look, but today was a sign of you wonder if realization sets in for those guys that it's almost over now. I mean, look, they're still, I'm sure, mathematically in the wild card picture out there. I think you have Seattle and Minnesota at 8 wins right now in the wild card picture, and they've got 6, but their hopes are dwindling, and you get punched in the mouth like that. The one thing you don't want to see, Fred, is this defense to have kind of a yo-yo game back the other way now because, you know, we're looking at San Diego. San Diego, 3 of their last 4 games, they've only managed 3 points, except for the game against the Jags. So just because Atlanta got shut out today, you don't want to give them any hope early on. Let's take advantage of any bad passes Ryan throws in. That's another thing just to mention as we get out of here. Blake Bortles threw a couple shaky ones early, but another interception-free game for him. So while his positive totals continue to climb, the negative ones are holding steady where they are right now.
So now for the season, 30 touchdowns for Blake Bortles, and the interception total is
13,
tiny,
right?
Yeah, 13 mm-hmm. for the year. And for the season now, passing yardage, 35-24 for Blake Bortles. Haven't seen that number around here in a long time. Fred, we'll talk to you next week before the Falcons and the Jaguars. And it's
looking
a homecoming weekend, I believe, right?
Right, alumni.
Love it.
Still a lot of the old school guys in town. I'm looking forward to that.
Who all's coming? Anybody you want to throw out there? Who you got?
You know, the regular Mark will be in town. Obviously, Tony.
Loggins,
you know what I mean?
Maybe.
A few other guys.
I wonder if Jeff Loggins will show up.
You know, I've spoken to, I know, right? Larry Smith, old Florida State guy. Now, I've spoken to, who else was it? Drayton Florence. He's local, though. Yeah. A few guys. I think it's 50.
That's
the number is 50.
Yeah,
we'll go out and play. We have a 20 guys, so it's five foursomes going out to play golf Saturday morning.
Nice.
You know, fellowship, brotherhood a little bit. So, looking forward to that. Now, I think it'll be a little bit more lager moving around than by bogeys, birdies.
The lager man will be
I mean,
up.
That's the fun part. It'll be cool. You know, seeing my old team, big sofa. Man, I don't even want to see Sofa on the golf course. I pray he didn't sign up.
We'll find out next week. Fred, well done. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Looking forward to it, boss.
See you, Freddy.
For Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, the VP of Communications is Dan Edwards, manager of radio is Joe Fortunato, and for everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night. Final score. Jags 51, the Colts 16. Stay tuned if you're in Jacksonville. The Scoreboard Show is next with your calls on our flagship station, 1010XL. The Jags and the Falcons coming up next week on the Jaguars Radio Network.